for he was preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name.
Let this child's soul come back to him.
Ah, what a joy.
Oh, listen, what we learn here. We learn that Elijah carried his troubles to the Lord.
What a great message and song.
Elijah carried his burdens. He carried his problems to the Lord.
Today you are saved, that you are.
Sadly, this is not our first reaction.
Continuing to seek him in these
trying days. We find ourselves faced with the troubles of life.
Have enjoyed our
many times we try to fix things on our own.
The prophet Elijah.
We try to fix the problems and tragedies of our life on our own.
Been a help and blessing to you.
But here we see that he poured out his heart
to First Kings chapter 17.
First Kings privately. He carried the boy up to.
We are continuing our study.
The upper room
of this prophet Elijah.
Chamber.
A prophet of courage.
He went to a quiet place.
And confrontation.
He went to a solitude place. He went to a place where.
Confronted the wicked king Ahab.
He was not
and
around the.
Queen Jezebel.
Weeping and wailing.
Of the nation. And in verse
number one,
he tells
it would be for
Ahab
today
that there is going to be a drought.
Noisy
going to
world
be a
in which we live. To
and
learn how
that,
to
right
get ourselves into a quiet place
Kareth,
that we might pour our hearts out to
there,
God.
To learn some eternal truths of God. And then from there, the Lord
moves
we
have
him
four boys
to Zarephath.
And it's not quiet.
The pagan land of Zarephath. And
it is not a quiet
to
place.
A widow. And we can
listen,
pick up where we left off.
If you live in such a home
Sunday in verse
you
17,
you have to intentionally find
now
a place of quiet,
after these
a
things,
time
that the
when
son
the kids
of
are
the
asleep
who
and
the
get along with God.
Sick.
That's what he
and
did.
His
he prayed
was so
privately, but then also we learn
no
in his life that he not
him.
Only prayed privately, but he prayed
so
fervently.
He said to Elijah,
he prayed
what
fervently.
Had I to do
the
with
Bible
you,
says,
old man
and
of God?
He cried unto the
have
Lord.
You come to me to bring my
in other words,
sin to remembrance and to kill my son?
Praying here.
And he said to her,
Elijah was not praying with some
so
lifeless
out of her
repetition
and
of
him to the upper room
the
where
stale
he was staying,
request
laid him
that we so
bed.
Often do.
Then he cried out
now
to
listen,
the Lord
his
and said,
prayer was that
oh
of
Lord,
earnestly
God,
pleading
have
with
you
God.
Also brought tragedy
his
on the widow
was
with whom
fervent.
I lodge by killing her son?
Hey, listen.
And he stretched
we
himself out on the child
certainly
three times
do not
and
pray
cried out
as
to the Lord and
as
said,
we ought to.
Oh Lord, my God.
But when we
I
do
pray,
let this child
we surely
soul come
do
back
not
to pray
him.
As fervently
then the Lord
as
heard
we
the voice of Elijah.
We don't pray
the
with
the soul
passion.
Of the child came back to him and he revived.
We don't pray with any
and Elijah
fervency.
Took the child and brought him down from the upper room into
oh,
the house and
this.
Gave him to his mother
may
and
we
Elijah
learn this,
said,
how he took
see,
his burden
your son
to the
lives.
Lord and he prayed privately
then
he
the
prayed
woman
fervently.
Said to Elijah,
but
now by this
all,
I know that you
one
are
great
a man
thing
of
that we
God,
must learn in Elijah's
and that
prayer
the word
is that he
of the
prayed
Lord
in
your
great
mouth
faith
is the truth.
He prayed in
I want
faith.
To speak to you this morning on this thought.
We need to know that the prophet was praying
life,
for something.
From death to life.
That
let's
he
pray
himself
our Father,
had never
thank
experienced.
You so much for this gathering
he had never
today.
Even heard of such a thing
this
of bringing a
of
dead
saints,
boy back to life.
Brothers and sisters in Christ. To worship,
in fact,
the one.
This is the first resurrection recorded
God.
In all of Scripture.
Father, we pray that
this is the
as
first
we
return from death,
sing,
in
and
the
as we now listen
of the
to
human
the
race.
Preaching of your word, I pray that you would give
listen,
us.
Listen, Elijah could not look back at
hearts
some other resurrection
and
say,
ready
Lord,
to receive
would you
it.
Please do for this boy,
that, Lord,
like
that
you
we
did
would
for
apply
this boy back in the past.
Our
he couldn't pray that.
That we would leave
nothing
this
like this
place
had ever
different.
Happened.
Than how we came in.
But because
change us by your
he
word.
Knew
we ask all these
the power
things in Christ's
of God,
name. Amen.
The great prophet prayed.
No doubt
with
many of you have heard
power.
Of the late actress Marilyn Monroe.
How do you
Monroe.
Know he prayed in, with great faith? Well,
Marilyn Monroe
even
was
Elijah's
asked
posture.
If she believed in God, she
the
answered that
prayed.
Question this way.
How he prayed.
He said, I
was really
just
a believer
that
was
everything
by faith.
A little bit. Listen, according to the Levitical laws,
she believed
in a little of this. And impure for a holy man to touch a corpse.
But not too much.
Yet Elijah, the Bible tells us, stretched himself upon the child some three times and cried out to
the
Lord, "Oh Lord, my God, let this child's life come back into him."
Americans in general.
Oh my, listen, it was not the prophet's touch
itself
that raised this boy from death to life.
A
majority of Americans would say that they believe in God. But Elijah
would say that they believe
in the Bible and believe in Jesus.
That God could make the dead.
But they also would say that they believe in the power of positive thinking.
So we see his response.
Or they would also
say
that they believe that humanity is basically good.
The resurrection of the widow's son.
And they would also say that they believe in luck. And
it says,
then
the Lord
heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul
of the child
came back to
Marilyn
him
Monroe
and
believed
in everything.
And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house.
Just a little bit.
And gave him to his mother. And Elijah,
listen, Elijah was up against
your son
a
very similar worldview
in
the
woman
day.
Said to Elijah, Elijah lived in a nation that had ceased to believe
that
the Lord is
the
one
of the Lord
and
your mouth
truly
is
only
truth.
Living God.
Can you just
people
imagine
had forgotten
in your mind's eye
that there was
the
that there is no God
carries
this
God.
Boy down the stairs and
they
gives
had
him
drifted
to his mother
off
and says,
into idolatry.
Your son
they began
lives.
To worship Baal.
We cannot even begin
they began to worship
the
pagan
joy.
Idols.
We cannot even begin
and much
to imagine
like Marilyn Monroe,
the
they believed
that
in everything just a little bit.
Oh, listen, this was
they
a
were
lady
mixing
who was
a little
so
Baal worship.
And a little
she
goddess
herself
worship of Asherah
for his death.
With their worship of the Lord God
she
of Israel.
She was so heartbroken and so
grief-stricken
that
she blamed the man of God.
1 Corinthians chapter 17.
But now she has been transformed
a very relevant
by a personal encounter
today.
With the resurrection
because
power
speaks
to the religious pluralism that we see so
Elijah
much of today.
Elijah placed this boy back
just
in her
as
arms
it spoke
alive.
To the religious pluralism
the
of
woman then
day.
Said,
and really, beloved,
I know that
thrust,
you are a man.
The whole
of
thrust
God.
Of Elijah's ministry
and that the
was
word
of the Lord in
this
your
way
mouth
of thinking
is
true.
And so he wants to show them,
now
he wants to teach
widow,
them
knows.
That there is only
now
one
she
God.
Believes.
And that
now
is the God of
trusts.
Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac.
But it was not
the Lord
until
God
she
of the
Bible.
Held her living, breathing son in her arms.
All that hath happened.
That she came to a firm conviction
17,
of the truth.
Elijah
has already taught us so
much
of what we need
Zarephath
to know about.
Shows
how
faith true God.
In the living God.
One writer said this.
Is grounded in the fact of the resurrection.
God 101.
Listen, a personal encounter
in
with the resurrection power of God
and works of
made
Almighty God.
A believer out of this
and
widow.
I believe he's right.
She said,
because
now by this,
Kings chapter 17,
I know
really
that you are a man of
about
God.
The character of God.
Now I know
First Kings
that the
17
word
reveals
of the Lord
the character
in your
of God
mouth. What
and
you
how
say
that
about
God is
that
true.
God hates sin. It teaches
listen,
how
it reminds
that
us so much
God judges sinners.
About old doubting
justly.
Thomas in the New Testament.
We see that how Elijah,
how he doubted
spoke to
the Lord
what
Jesus
being raised
to
from
the
wicked
dead.
King Ahab.
He didn't believe
this
the disciples' report of
that God
what happened
promises.
To the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was resurrected.
It teaches that God has mercy
one
on
day,
the needy.
He
and how that he loves the widow and he loves the father.
Jesus said,
Thomas and adopts foreigners into his own
and
family.
Touch my womb.
1 Kings chapter
touch
17
my nail
teaches us that God is holy and
Thomas
is just. He is loving
him
and merciful.
And out,
listen,
my Lord,
this is the God we serve.
Thomas had the same reaction.
This chapter also teaches
he
us
came to faith in the risen Lord
God
just as
does.
This woman did.
Revealing three of his great
years
works.
Ago.
The first one,
oh, listen, believing
creation,
in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
1 Kings chapter 17 reveals
not
God's
just
work
and
the
event that we recognize
the Lord,
just once a year.
The God of Israel.
No. Listen,
is
believing
the one
in the resurrection
who sends
of Jesus Christ
the rain
should be for
the
for
God
the
of Israel
a
is
daily
the one who
reality.
Causes the drought to fall
the
upon
Bible
the land.
Says that Jesus,
he
Jesus
is
raised
the Lord
from
of
the
creation.
He
according
rules.
To
He governs.
And Paul
he,
said
listen,
in Romans
he governs
4, that
even
Christ
the elements of the natural world that he made.
And so we see in
1
Kings here
for
that
our
God works. We see his work of creation.
Listen,
we also see
here this morning,
his work of
and
divine
you have never
providence.
Been saved.
You have
listen,
never
day
trusted
by
Christ
day,
as your Lord
God
and
provided
the Bible
everything that Elijah
that
needed.
You are in the same
he gave him a
spiritual
spiritual
place
condition.
To live
now,
there at the brook Cherith. That the widow's
we,
son
he gave
was
him
sustenance.
Sustenance.
He gave him bread indeed. And meat to eat twice a day.
Somebody said,
then
you're
God provided
the
everything that the
like
widow of Zarephath
man,
needed,
man,
along
true.
With her son.
You may be
and
alive
life.
Physically, but spiritually,
we saw
you are
just
dead.
Last week how that jar
listen,
of flour
dead
was
means that
not
we are separated
up.
From a holy God.
That jar of oil did not run
and
dry.
Since lost people are
because
dead
God gave them their daily needs.
That means that
we are completely unable
this chapter
on
also
our
reveals
own
to us
to
God's work
God.
Of redemption.
We are completely unable.
We turn
we do
to
not
this last
have the ability
on
our own
King chapter
17
his
God
word.
Brings the widow said,
"From the lost death person has
to
no
life.
Spiritual understanding,
and they
that
also
no man
brings,
seeks after
God,
God.
Brings this widow from her
so
disbelief.
Something must happen
to true saving.
Has to be something
saved.
To happen to
God
before we ever call upon God.
King
in 17,
us.
That He is
listen, God
the Lord of life
has to make us alive,
and that He
spiritually.
Alone is the God."
In other words, God has to turn on the light.
And so 1 Kings 17 introduces us to these three
that is
great works of God. Creation, providence,
and this can only
happen by the power of the Holy Spirit.
And when you
Spirit,
put those three great works
through
together,
the death and resurrection
they comprise
a proof
listen,
that the
when
God
we are
of Israel
is the only
when we have
powerful
been brought
God.
From death to life.
That he is not just a God,
listen, we
little g,
are made alive
he
in
is
Christ Jesus.
God, capital G.
And my prayer is,
and only
today
God
that
can
many
make
would
the world.
Come to know
only
him.
Only God can sustain the
not.
World. Only God can provide
that
daily
you cannot
bread
trust
and
in
bring
your
the dead
to save you.
Back to life.
You cannot trust in church membership or
like
baptism.
Like told King Ahab, you come to Christ
privately.
You give your whole life
there in the
to
king's
him.
Chambers.
And be saved.
That the Lord, today. God of Israel, lives.
You can be just like that boy.
True.
Who was dead physically.
And very soon,
God can save
everyone will
bring
know
you from death.
That the Lord, God of Israel, lives.
And sins and make you alive.
The last eight verses of
1
Corinthians 17 really form for us.
Another thing we can point out.
The climax of Elijah's argument
is how that we
that
need to
God
fervently
is
pray.
The only God.
As Elijah did.
The case here has been
son.
Building for some time, but it reaches
child.
Its pinnacle. It reaches its peak.
He said that he
when Elijah carries a boy down from the upper
him,
room
and, that he
and
did.
Says to the widow's mother,
we notice
or
this
the
by
widow
him
there,
praying not just once
look,
and not him just laying once on this boy's
leaves.
Body, but he did this three times.
Oh, listen, the resurrection of the widow's son.
He didn't give up until the Bible tells us that the Lord heard Elijah.
Of the deity of
and
Almighty
use that
God.
To maybe apply this
that
to
God
your life,
is the
that maybe
only
you have been praying for
powerful
a
God.
Lost loved one or a lost friend.
That being said,
and it seems as if nothing
is very
is
important to notice
praying.
With me this morning that God
listen,
is the main
to
character
like
of this chapter.
Keep on praying.
He is the hero
fervently
of this
pray
chapter.
Pray persistently. Keep
so
on
the
until the
to be
Lord
learned
hears
from
1 Kings 17 are
listen,
not
as
so much about
there is
Elijah
in
primarily.
That soul's
yes,
life.
These lessons are drawn
as
out
long
from
as
his
that
life,
family
but they
member
are really
still alive.
About the
there
living
is still
God.
Hope in Christ.
As a matter
do
of fact, there is
up.
Something that
keep
we can learn about God's relationship with his people from each
let's pray together, our Father.
Of the story. Lord, we are
so
to begin
thankful,
with,
Lord, for your word.
The widow's son,
God, we pray,
teaches us something
that, Lord,
about
that
the reality
do now the
of
work
this.
Of
that's the first
really
thing
what
I want you
I
notice
cannot
me
do.
This morning,
and that is
the reality of death.
Sinner.
We have already seen that after the day
true son
the
Jesus.
Prophet made his proclamation before
Lord,
King
please.
Ahab,
I pray
Elijah's work
and
ministry was dramatically changed.
Are dead spiritually.
He had been removed from what he thought was
the
his
Holy
primary
Spirit
calling as a prophet who
soul.
Had an audience with the king and queen
God,
of Israel.
See,
now he's been sent
time.
To minister to a poor widow and
her
sons outside of the land of Israel in a pagan land.
May they see you as their
pagan
only
little village called Zarephath.
And Savior.
And this woman to whom he
Lord,
is going to minister was just not a poor woman.
They are believers.
She was a destitute woman.
They're like Elijah.
And
they're,
she was ready to go ahead and eat her last meal with her son, and then they were going to die of starvation.
But Lord, they have gotten so.
But instead, into this woman's
for
life,
so long and nothing happens. But Lord,
by the grace of God, comes the prophet Elijah, and her life
give us the persistence in
suddenly
our
takes a.
Dramatic
Father, I pray
change.
That you bless, instead of physical
the
starvation,
of day, bless the remainder
instead
of,
death, of
this week.
There is now food
that we
and
would
life
live our
provided
lives
daily
in victory
by a miracle of God.
Not because of what we have done.
Oh my, how exciting that
live
must
our
have
lives
been
in the
to
victory
live
that
such
your
daily
son,
miraculous
Jesus
supply.
Has died and he was buried
and
every he was
day
raised
that you went
again,
and checked the cupboard.
To the scriptures.
And to check that jar
let
of flour,
us live in that
resurrection
flour
there for that daily
every day.
Need of bread. There is just Father, enough oil for that daily need.
In Christ's name.
Oh, how miraculous.
Amen.
That must
Let's
have been. How exciting this was.
We are going to sing.
And listen, God was so very
hymn.
Gracious to her.
You know, since we were not able to worship
out of all the widows in that land.
And sing some of the great
out of
songs
all
the
poor widows and destitute, hungry widows, God chose her supplies to be met.
The resurrection of our
her
Lord.
Needs to be met.
You're here and you do not
God
know
chose
Christ
this
your
widow who
Savior,
lived in a pagan land
the Holy Spirit
to not only
to
supply
heart.
Her needs, but
right
God
song,
graced her and
I'm
blessed
right
her that she was able to hear
front.
About the God of Israel.
Please do not leave.
Remember,
here.
She was living in a pagan land, an idol worshiping land.
If you have
if God
you
was gracious
the
to her,
conviction of the Holy Spirit drawing you to
she
Jesus,
was able then to hear of the God of Israel
calling upon the name of the Lord
through the prophet Elijah.
Right
but even more than that,
waiting for
the
you.
Prophet Elijah was able
as
to
we
say in the upper
this
room,
great resurrection song,
another dwelling place that this lady had, and surely the man of God, surely Elijah taught her and her son about the God of Israel. How wonderful and exciting this must have been. But quite unexpected. In the midst of a period of God's supply. In the midst of a period of relative ease and quiet. Read that disaster strikes. The widow's son is taken sick.
With a mighty
and actually dies. Verse 17 tells us. It says, now it happened after these things.
Forever
after
with
what
things?
After God's
he
arose.
Arose.
After these things, that the son of the woman who
Hallelujah.
Owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. Now, we're not told what was wrong with this little child, but the illness was so severe that the boy died. The boy was no longer breathing. That's what it means when it says that there was no breath left in him. Think about that. How that the only family, the only loved one the widow has left is
I
cannot imagine the dreadful, how dreadful this loss was
for
the poor widow.
with his thanks to
ring. My dear friend, tell you something this morning. Sickness, death of this child.
Hallelujah.
Reminds us of the frailty of human life and the reality of death. It reminds us that every one of us, no matter how young, no matter how seemingly healthy we are, it reminds us that every one of us is subject to sickness, subject to death. And we run the whole race of our lives knowing that death is waiting for us at the finish line. Listen, there's not a person who's old enough living who has not grappled with the fact that death is a reality. They know that all men are mortal. And every day we hear the news of death. Every day. We always live under the shadow of death. Why? Because sin entered the world, and with sin, death, the Bible teaches. The wages of sin is death. But I want to tell you this morning that this is not a story of death. This is a story about the power of God over death. What is perhaps surprising for us is that this is a story that takes place in the Old Testament. And we know about the power of God over death as we read the New Testament. We know that the Gospels teach us how Jesus, being God, revealed His power over death by raising up the dead. We know that His divine life-giving power was demonstrated once and for all in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We know that although Jesus was dead and was buried, that the Bible tells us that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. But listen to me. The raising of the widow's son here in Zarephath was one of those Old Testament events that pointed the people of God forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. This miracle anticipated the resurrection power of God that was fully revealed in God's Son, the Lord Jesus. Oh, listen to me. What happened to this boy physically? How he came from death to life is what happens every time a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ and is saved. This is what happens every time a sinner is saved. That Jesus has the power to take us from death to life. Why? Because, listen, we are all born spiritually dead. That's what the Scripture teaches us. Every one of us was born in sin. Every one of us was born separated from a holy God. Born spiritually dead. But everyone who knows God, if you come to faith in Christ and have faith in Him, listen, you too can cross over from death to spiritual life. I love what Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 tells us. He says, and you were, what, dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked. You were following the course of this world. But God, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. Oh, listen, just as this boy was taken from death to life physically, so too is every sinner spiritually taken from death to life. And this new life in Christ is absolutely eternal. And please hear me this morning. If you have not yet trusted in Jesus Christ, listen, you are still dead in your trespasses and sins. You need to come to Christ and be saved. Oh, listen, we learn that it was God alone who could bring life to this dead child, and it is God alone who has the power over death, and He offers eternal life. And please know this morning that we will not receive this life, this eternal life, by just believing a little of this and a little of that. We must give our whole life, our whole selves to God. We must give our whole selves over to the Lord who raised Jesus from the dead. And only then will we pass from death to life spiritually. So we learn in this chapter the reality of death and that God has the power over death. Notice, secondly, we learn something of the reaction of the widow. We learn something of the reaction of this mother. Verse 18, it says, "So she said to Elijah, 'What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?' Now we know, if you're familiar with this chapter, that she has already received the miraculous grace of God. I mean, she has been the recipient of His supply and His miraculous supply. Even though that she was down to her last meal, and even though that she was an alien to the family of God, God sent Elijah to save her from starvation. And so she knew something of God's grace. She had learned to trust God for her daily bread. She certainly had at least a measure of faith in God. However, she did not have the spiritual resources to cope with the death of her son. She was filled, we see here, with not only grief, but she was also filled with a lot of resentment. And this is easy to understand, for this poor woman lost everything when she lost her son. She lost her closest companion. She lost her only living family member. In the words of one commentator, A.W. Pink, he said, "In him and her son, all her affections were centered. And with his death, all her hopes were destroyed." And sadly, it happened so suddenly. It happened so quickly, just when life seemed to be working out for this lady. Just when she had been delivered from starvation, just when the burdens of being a single parent was lifted, her son was taken from her. For this lady, things had gone from bad to good to worse. It all seemed so unfair. And with that grief also comes resentment. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you been at that place? Have you ever watched everything that you worked for, everything that you loved, crumble in around you? Well, this is where this lady is at. She is beyond heartbroken. She is mourning the loss of her only son. And what does she do? She lashes out in her sorrow. She lashes out in her grief. And first of all, she blames herself. She blames herself. She says, "Have you come to bring my sin to remembrance and kill my son?" Now, we do not know what sin that she is referring to. Maybe she's referring to the sin of idolatry, of her worshiping Baal, the false god. But whatever it is, listen, it's always a good thing. It's always a beneficial thing to have our conscience pricked and be reminded of our sin in order that we might repent and turn to God. So she, in her resentment, she lashes out and she blames herself. But then she also blames Elijah. She blames the preacher. You know, that's what people do when things go wrong in your life. You blame the preacher. But that's what she does. But I want you to notice not only her reaction, but it's very important we notice Elijah's response. Notice his response. The third thing, his godly response. Up until this point, looking at things from Elijah's perspective, everything seemed to be going very well. I mean, he was getting a square meal every day while living in a nice loft there in Zarephath. But then this poor widow came to him and with her dead son in her arms, and she accused Elijah, the man of God, for the death of her son. Verse 18 again tells us, "So she said to Elijah, 'What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?'" Poor Elijah only had a congregation of two to begin with. Now one of his parishioners is dead, and the other is attacking his ministry, which is the way pastoral ministry goes sometimes. But we notice his response, that Elijah did not try to defend himself. He did not try to defend his ministry. But what he did do was that he showed remarkable grace. He showed remarkable restraint in the face of opposition. And let me say something, that is very hard to do. And you know that. He did not try to explain why the woman's accusations were unjust. He did not blame her for her sins. He did not give her a lecture about why bad things happen to people. He does not argue with her. He does not even rebuke her. Instead of those things, Elijah gives her a very gracious response. And really, the fact that he showed grace to her while she was saying such things really is a powerful testimony to the quality of this man's spiritual life. And what we learn in this is that Elijah was as godly in his private life as he was in his public life. And the question is, what was Elijah's secret? Well, the secret is this: he took his problems to the Lord. He took his problems to the Lord. We see this in verse 19. And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his bed. And then he cried out to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Oh, listen, what do we learn here? We learn that Elijah carried his troubles to the Lord. Elijah carried his burdens. He carried his problems to the Lord. And sadly, this is not our first reaction when we find ourselves faced with the troubles of life. Many times we try to fix things on our own. We try to fix the problems and tragedies of our life on our own. But here we see that he poured out his heart to God privately. He prayed privately. He carried the boy up to the upper room, the prophet's chamber. He went to a quiet place. He went to a solitude place. He went to a place where he was not around the weeping and wailing mother. Oh my, how helpful it would be for us today in this busy, noisy world in which we live to learn how to get ourselves into a quiet place that we might pour our heart out to God. As you know, we have four boys, and it's not quiet. I promise you that. It is not a quiet place. Listen, if you live in such a home, you have to intentionally find you a place of quiet, a time when the kids are asleep, and get along with God. That's what he did. He prayed privately, but then also we learn in his life that he not only prayed privately, but he prayed fervently. He prayed fervently. The Bible says, and he cried unto the Lord. In other words, that this was not just some passive praying here. Elijah was not praying with some lifeless repetition of the stale request that we so often do. No, listen, his prayer was that of earnestly pleading with God. His prayer was fervent. Hey, listen, we as believers certainly do not pray as often as we ought to. But when we do pray, we surely do not pray as fervently as we should. We don't pray with passion. We don't pray with any fervency. Oh, may we learn this. May we learn this, how he took his burdens to the Lord and he prayed privately, he prayed fervently. But most of all, one great thing that we must learn in Elijah's prayer is that he prayed in great faith. He prayed in faith. We need to know that the prophet was praying for something that he himself had never experienced. He had never even heard of such a thing of bringing a dead boy back to life. In fact, this is the first resurrection recorded in all of Scripture. This is the first return from death in the history of the human race. Listen, Elijah could not look back at some other resurrection and say, Lord, would you please do for this boy like you did for this boy back in the past? He couldn't pray that. Nothing like this had ever happened. But because he knew the power of God, the great prophet prayed with resurrection power. How do you know he prayed with great faith? Well, even Elijah's posture, the way he prayed, how he prayed, was really a prayer that was demonstrated by faith. Listen, according to the Levitical laws, it was unlawful and impure for a holy man to touch a corpse. Yet Elijah, the Bible tells us, stretched himself upon the child some three times and cried out to the Lord, O Lord, my God, let this child's life come back into him again. Oh my, listen, it was not the prophet's touch itself that raises the boy from death to life. Only God has the power to give life. But Elijah's touch was an act of faith. Faith that God could make the dead to live again. So we see his response. Then notice lastly the resurrection of the widow's son, the resurrection of the widow's son. We see this in verse 22. It says, "Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, 'See, your son lives.' And then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth.'" Can you just imagine in your mind's eye, visualize the scene here as he carries this boy down the stairs and gives him to his mother and says, "Look, your son lives." We cannot even begin to imagine the joy. We cannot even begin to imagine the excitement that this mother had. Oh, listen, this was a lady who was so heartbroken that she blamed herself for his death. She was so heartbroken and so grief-stricken that she blamed the man of God. But now she has been transformed by a personal encounter with the resurrection power of God. When Elijah placed this boy back in her arms alive, the woman then said, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is true." Now this widow knows. Now she believes. Now she trusts. But it was not until she held her living, breathing son in her arms that she came to a firm conviction of the truth of who God is. Oh my, listen, the widow of Zarephath shows how faith in the living God is grounded in the fact of the resurrection. Listen, a personal encounter with the resurrection power of God made a believer out of this widow. She said, "Now by this, I know that you are a man of God. Now I know that the word of the Lord in your mouth, what you say about God, is true." Oh, listen, it reminds us so much about old Doubting Thomas in the New Testament, and how he doubted the Lord Jesus being raised from the dead. He didn't believe the disciples' report of what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was resurrected. And then one day, he saw his resurrected Lord. And Jesus said, "Thomas, reach and touch my wounds. Touch my nail-pierced side." And Thomas looked at him and cried out, "My Lord, my God." Thomas had the same reaction. He came to faith in the risen Lord just as this woman did many years ago. Oh, listen, believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just some annual event that we recognize just once a year. No, no, no. Listen, believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ should be, for the believer, a daily reality. The Bible says that Jesus was raised from the dead, according to the Scriptures. And Paul said in Romans chapter 4 that Christ was raised for our justification. He was resurrected for our justification. Listen, if you're here this morning and you have never been saved, you have never trusted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, listen, the Bible teaches that you are in the same spiritual condition now that the widow's son was physically. You're dead. Somebody said the lost person is like a dead man walking, and that's very true. You may be alive physically, but spiritually you are dead. Listen, to be spiritually dead means that we are separated from a holy God. And since lost people are dead spiritually, that means that we are completely unable on our own to trust God. We are completely unable. We do not have the ability on our own to trust His Word. Paul says that the lost person has no spiritual understanding, that no man seeks after God. So something must happen. There has to be something to happen to before we ever call upon God to save us. Listen, God has to make us alive spiritually. In other words, God has to turn on the light on our soul. That is called regeneration. And this can only happen by the power of the Holy Spirit through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, when we are regenerated, when we have been brought from death to life spiritually, oh, listen, we are made alive in Christ Jesus. And my prayer is today that many would come to know Him if you do not. That you cannot trust in yourself to save you. You cannot trust in church membership or baptism. You come to Christ. You give your whole life to Him and be saved today. You can be just like that boy who was dead physically. God can save you spiritually, bring you from death, dead in trespasses and sins, and make you alive in Jesus Christ. Another thing we can point out in closing is how that we need to fervently pray as Elijah did for this dead son, for this dead child. We said that he prayed fervently for him, and that he did. And we notice this by him praying not just once, and not him just laying once on this boy's body, but he did this three times. He didn't give up until the Bible tells us that the Lord heard Elijah. Let me just use that to maybe apply this to your heart and life, that maybe you have been praying for a lost loved one or a lost friend, and it seems as if nothing is being accomplished through your praying. Listen, learn to pray like Elijah. Keep on praying. Pray fervently. Pray persistently. Keep on until the Lord hears your prayer. Listen, as long as there is breath in that soul's life, as long as that lost family member is still alive, there is still hope in Christ. Do not give up. Keep praying. Let's pray together. Our Father, Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, for Your Word. God, we pray that, Lord, that You would do now the work of really what I cannot do, and that is draw the sinner to Your Son, Jesus. Lord, please, I pray that those who are dead spiritually, that the Holy Spirit would breathe life into their soul. God, may they see for the first time their lost, sinful condition. And may they see You as their only hope and Savior. And Lord, I pray for all those that are here that are, they are believers. They're like Elijah. They're praying for That person who is dead spiritually. But Lord, they have gotten so disheartened after praying for so long and nothing happens. But Lord, I pray that they would continue to pray. God, give us a persistence in our prayer. Father, I pray that you bless the remainder of this day, bless the remainder of this week, that we would live our lives in victory. Not because of what we have done, but live our lives in the victory that your Son, Jesus, has died and He was buried and He was raised again according to the Scriptures. Let us live in that resurrection power every day. Father, we love you. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand. We are going to sing a closing hymn. You know, since we were not able to worship together on Easter and sing some of the great songs of the resurrection, I want us to close out this morning by singing one of the great songs that speak about the resurrection of our Lord. If you're here and you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to your heart, right after this song, I'm going to be right here down front. And please do not leave here. If you have a question, if you feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit drawing you to Jesus, don't leave here without calling upon the name of the Lord. And I want to tell you, I'm going to be right here waiting for you as we sing this great resurrection song.
Preach the word, preach the cross, preach redemption.